answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Responsibility, Terry. We did not have any accountability for what was going on there, and we should have. This is ridiculous. You're going to ask me in the middle of the thing when they've already breached the inaugural stuff should we call the Capitol Police? I mean, National Guard? Why weren't the National Guard there to begin with?
They thought that they had sufficient resources.
No, there's not a question of how they had been. They don't know. They clearly didn't know, and I take responsibility for not having them just prepare for more.
That is Nancy Pelosi, apparently part of a documentary that her daughter was making the day of January 6th. From the back of the car, Nancy talking to one of her aides and didn't like the answer she got as to they didn't know, and then saying, I take responsibility. And yet, who has she publicly challenged and chastised for January 6th happening? Donald Trump. And Trump said, look, I offered, you want the National Guard? And they said, no, we're Capitol Police. We'll take care of it. And there's Nancy asking the same thing. Now, the question is that real? Or is it artificial intelligence putting that together? You have to ask that nowadays. But everything I've seen suggests it is real. It was part of a documentary her daughter put together. And even though it's Nancy and you hear the voice, the face is covered with a mask, still COVID bound for her at that point, January 6th of that year. But I'm going to let you decide if you want to accept it as real or not. But if it's real as exactly as you heard it, Nancy Pelosi admits that she did not prepare for what happened at the Capitol, and she should have, and that Trump had already suggested to her repeatedly, you need more help, we'll get help for you. And he did not order his people to go down there and attack the Capitol. You never hear that on the state-controlled media. They're always going to try to point out to you that, well, he did say go down there and make your voices heard, and they leave out where he said, go in peace, use your First Amendment rights. That did not mean battling police. Those who did that are wrong. And we also still have a lot of questions about how many were in the crowd that were actual FBI informants or FBI agents themselves inciting the crowd because they wanted that visual. All we do know for sure is we had people locked away in jail, didn't have access to their families or attorneys, and some still are, some sentenced to long terms for what? But Nancy Pelosi, on that audio, that video, says, I am responsible. On one hand, you have to give the lady credit as Speaker of the House. She knows what her duties are. And she failed. But now more than failing, that reaffirms to the rest of us, you've been lying all this time. Thanks for joining us. This is hour number two of Larry Connors USA. We're here every Monday through Friday for you, 6 to 8 p.m. on News Talk STL. And when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. And I'm telling you, sometimes it can get pretty engaging. Like this one. So you can watch it while we're on the air, or if you miss it, you can pull it up later. How do you watch it live? Well, I mean, when it's on the air and we're broadcasting, you go to News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube. Or you go to Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, no YouTube. Somebody asked me the other day, well, you know, you need to fight back, get back on YouTube. I said, I could care less. And also reminding you, if you miss anything, audio or video, that you can't stay with us the full 2 hours, I fully understand that. You've got a life to live. But when you do sit down to listen or watch, please also push share, send it on to someone else. And I always appreciate you putting a mark down that you like it. That adds to the algorithm for all of us. But back to Nancy Pelosi. Now, after that video, and she has yet to come out and deny that it was her saying that. What she did do is come out and talk again about how Trump has been the bane of all of our issues.
The fact is that the President of the United States, the former president, and his toadies do not want to face the facts. They're trying to do revisionist history on January 6th. But we cannot let us be dragged into their, again, false impression of what happened that day. They know what happened that day.
They know what happened. You toadies, you know that happened. And you're trying to revise history. Oh, that's like taking down the General Lee statues of the Confederate generals across various locations of the nation. That's revising history. Let's just make it all go away by taking the statue down. Doesn't change any history whatsoever. Now, of course, the story is today, obviously, and I did lead within the first hour. If you think my mind is off kilter, I try to mix the programs up. The main story today came down with this announcement. Fox News.
Hunter Biden has been found guilty on all counts in his gun trial, federal trial in Wilmington, Delaware. All right, Leo, your first response.
My first response is I go back to the Harris Faulkner Leo Terrell segment about 6 months ago when you asked me that question. Is there any way that plea deal could be stopped? I said the judge played a major role in the rule of law by saying I'm not going to agree to this plea deal, had questions, and that's why we're here today. The American public needs to know that. That is the rule of law, and I applaud the judge that she did an outstanding job in following the rule of law.
That sweetheart deal, if it had been carried out at that time, none of this Hunter Biden stuff would have continued. And then I'll be smirking and looking at you like, you're an idiot to think I'm guilty of anything. That was Leo Terrell on Fox News. And again, that Hunter Biden verdict coming down, guilty on all three counts, lying on a federal form, purchasing a gun when you claim that you're not an addict when you, in fact you are. And then leaving it with the federal, the gun dealer, so it has to go into his files. So if anybody comes along and say, how the hell did he get a gun? Well, here's his form. He said he wasn't a drug addict. And speaking of that earlier deal that would have made all this just kind of disappear and become minor, minor little things, Larry Yellen, another legal analyst.
The judge was asked to take another look at this case, to take another look at the plea deal. All plea deals have to be approved by the presiding judge. And in this case, the judge says it just wasn't a fair deal for the prosecution suggested that even though it might benefit Hunter Biden to a great extent, it was not one that the government should accept. And the judge took it out of the party's hands and said, no, there's not going to be a plea deal on these terms. That doesn't mean they couldn't have later reached another plea deal before trial. But at that point, Biden's attorney said, no, we're going to take this to trial. They rolled the dice and they lost.
They rolled the dice and they lost. That was just perfect. They thought we could get by with a jury. Now, speaking of the jury, they knew how to choose a jury, and they were choosing people that either had people the best they could, that either had someone who had had an addiction at one time or battling it, and they were personally aware of the difficulties that come with it. And Jonathan Turley, George Washington law professor, also a legal analyst for Fox News, said the jury was already being chosen because of that sympathy factor.
This is Biden town. You know, this is Wilmington. This is where the Bidens reside. And it says a lot about the jurors that they overcame that. There was obvious sympathy for the defendant. I had sympathy for the defendant. When you hear his account of his struggle with drugs, you can't be anything but empathetic. But there was also an unavoidable series of criminal acts in all of this. And by saying things like he might not have checked the box or he had a moment moment of sobriety, or maybe he was just using alcohol, really, I think, might have insulted some of the jurors. The way that Lowell made it sound is that the question meant, are you doing drugs while you're purchasing this weapon?
I mean, you fill out the form.
He narrowed it so much.
Yeah. He put it right down in front of them. And the reaction from the jury, some of the jurors even being quoted on CNN. One said the case seemed like a waste of taxpayer dollars. Another one said, I just didn't believe Biden's story. But you do have those who are still sympathetic. One saying, I really don't think Hunter belongs in jail. Well, is that going to happen or not? What's the option? Larry Yellen, legal analyst.
I think it will likely be probation or some sort of home confinement. The law allows, if you add the maximums, for 25 years, and in most cases, they would not be stacked on top of one another like that, leading to 25 years. It might be 10 years as a maximum, a realistic maximum. The federal guidelines, which are merely an option for the judge, they don't have to follow him. The federal guidelines call for something around 1 year. But the fact that these cases, he's a first-time offender, and no one was hurt with the weapon, there was no injury involved, cases like this typically are not even brought against a defendant. That all suggests that it'd be very unlikely if he receives jail time.
And then, of course, you have Daddy. He has already previously said, I will not pardon Hunter. But, of course, he said that thinking it's not going to be convicted. But he got convicted on all charges, all three federal charges dealing with a gun. And one of them, let me read through them for you very quickly. Count one, making false statement on ATF form intended and likely to deceive the dealer. And that led then to count number two, which means once you've done that for the dealer, you made a false statement on an ATF form that would be kept in the dealer's records, which means he could lose his license to sell guns if he sold to someone that he shouldn't have. And then count three, possession of gun by prohibited person. And many of the jurors, even talking to CNN, said they did think the whole idea here was to use laws that would prevent people that should not have guns from getting them. What is Joe Biden going to do? His reaction so far? As I said last week, I am the president, but I'm also a dad. Jill and I love our son. We're so proud of the man he is today. So many families who have had loved ones battle addiction understand the feeling of pride, seeing someone you love come out the other side and be so strong and resilient in recovery. Okay. But in the past, he's also indicated he would not use his power to pardon his son, that he would accept the outcome of the case and let Hunter now move forward with an appeal. We'll see how long that holds up. UN Security Council voting for a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas, but there is more to that story.
Well, more now on the news that the UN Security Council has endorsed a ceasefire proposal for Gaza put forward by the US President Joe Biden. The resolution urges both Hamas and Israel to implement its terms without delay and without condition. 14 countries voted in favour and Russia abstained. Let's go live now to our North America correspondent, Neda Tawfik. Tell us how the vote went.
Yeah, well, look, 14 members supported this resolution and Russia abstained. And what we heard from the United States was that this resolution was necessary to put pressure on Hamas to accept the deal on the table. And after the resolution passed, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, Washington's UN ambassador, said that this really showed that the international community was speaking with one voice. And she said that this deal was really the best way to bring a durable end to the war.
But Hamas doesn't see it that way. Even though the UN statement from the U.S. Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield adds, Hamas should now clearly see the international community is united. United behind a deal that will save lives, help Palestinian civilians in Gaza start to rebuild and heal. United behind a deal that will reunite hostages with their families after 8 months in captivity. And she adds all that and then says, assuming Hamas accepts the deal. Secretary Blinken on his eighth trip to the Middle East, meeting again with families of some of those hostages. Secretary Blinken.
I just met with the families of the American hostages in Gaza. I've had the opportunity to meet with them many times now on every trip here to the region when they visited Washington. As always, it's an incredibly powerful thing. It's hard for any of us to put ourselves in their shoes, to feel what they've been feeling these many, many long months. They were elated at the rescue of four hostages just a couple of days ago, but they continue to feel deeply, powerfully, this enduring separation from their loved ones. For me, all of the hostages, but especially our eight American families who have loved ones in Gaza, we are determined to bring them home.
And the battle has continued in Rafah and elsewhere. Four IDF forces were killed in a booby trap set specifically for that. And apparently a couple more Hamas commanders have been killed. And they continue to hide under babies' beds and under hospitals. They have no interest in peace. Hamas wants to kill all Jews simply because of their religion. Hamas wants to kill all Americans. And that includes those of you out on the campus shouting, "From the river to the sea." No, they'll kill you just as well if you don't follow jihad Sharia law. You want to fool yourself like that, go ahead. And for those of you who left your campus or got kicked off because you were occupying space, go to Tehran. Enroll in a university in Tehran. See how you get treated. Before this hour is over, Claire McCaskill, former Missouri senator, now serving as a paid consultant for one of the state-controlled media, doing her latest to trash Trump, MSNBC, and Claire McCaskill. There's a combination. At the same time, the Biden team continues to lie about everything is so good, yet the data on so many fronts says otherwise. And in fact, before the hour is over, I want you to hear from the Florida chief financial officer. He says, when you start comparing Florida to California, there's clear evidence as to why the hell people want to get out of California and go to Florida, or at least go somewhere. Does anyone know anyone moving to California right now that's excited? Now, if they have a big job and they're going to be happy with it, okay, I wish them well. But I also urge them to be careful of their safety. And I don't know where they're going to eat or buy things as more and more stores shut down because of the rampant crime. We're going to get into that part of the story as well, and Governor Newsom. All of that's still to come. But up next, my guest suggesting Joe Biden might be suddenly restricting border access, maybe because he thinks he has enough illegals in the nation right now that would vote illegally and steal the election for him. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 1-800-644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
You guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local and global.
People, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local? Really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire has been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on? The Rob Carter Show. Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL.
Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, now open in the district of Chesterfield Valley. Napoli has the only coal-fired pizza oven. That means an incredible taste you cannot get anywhere else. So enjoy a unique pizza at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the district. And then walk a few doors down and enjoy premium cigars and drinks at Lit Cigar Lounge. There's a perfect way to end the evening. Napoli Pizza followed by Lit Cigar Lounge. A winning combination.
This is News Talk STL.
I am flesh and I am bone. Rise up, ting, ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul. Rise up, ting, ting, like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter. Do you walk in the valley of kings?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So everybody wants a good, free, honest election. And if your candidate wins or loses, if it's a free and absolutely legitimate election, that's just the way it goes. But my next guest is suggesting, is Biden now shutting the border down? Because, and he's not shutting it down, obviously. She's not saying that, but at least restricting it after 3 years because maybe he has enough fake voters inside the nation. Glad to welcome aboard Catherine Engelbrecht. She is the founder of True the Vote, nonprofit committed to preventing election fraud. Catherine, glad to have you with us.
Hey, Larry, thanks so much for having me.
So that proposal that, as you said, the executive order on immigration is a political ploy, too little, too late. Have the feds admitted a sufficient number of new voters so we don't need to shut the door now, or we can shut it, because they got enough of them inside to vote for Biden?
Yeah, I'm putting the question out there. It seems very curious that now, after all of this time, this half-hearted attempt emerges, maybe to placate America, since this is the number one issue uniting all Americans against the meltdown at the border, and all Americans, whether they're R's or D's or anywhere in between, are sick of it. Is it just a political ploy? Because they have been carefully attracting and tracking the people now coming in across the border and being selectively distributed across the country into battleground states. I mean, do they have their plan in place? And now what they need to do is work on making sure that they know how to either mobilize them or the registrations created through the process for the purposes of the vote. I mean, it little else makes sense because they don't seem to really care.
No, they don't. And they send them off. They bring them in. They sign a basically a parole waiver that you show up for court later and they send to various states. Then the states, especially the blue states, are giving them packets of material which might include in their voter registration. And yet the other day, the AG's office made it very clear. Look, you're not entitled to vote. If you sign one of those and you vote, that could be reason for deportation. Wink, wink. That's in other words, well, we're giving you the paper. Here's the opportunity. Maybe we'll get around to deporting you.
Right. Well, and it's actually a level past that many folks don't understand, that the social services, the programs that are being, you know, so vigorously extended to undocumented migrants, the living stipends, housing, health care, all of those programs, according to the National Voter Registration Act, come as baked into the application, come with voter registration that you have to know to opt out of, or you will be opted in. And when that was first passed, the idea of creating this two-in-one turnkey application with social service programs and voter registration all baked together, when that was first passed in 1993, it was, you know, I mean, okay, it was a way to expand voter registration, and as long as you're keeping the voter rolls clean, which is a whole nother matter,
right,
that should balance out. But at the time, those programs weren't available to non-citizens. During the Obama administration, all that changed, and many programs then became available to non-citizens. And then you see, you know, one of the very first acts of the Biden administration was his issuance of Executive Order 14019, which was a call to all federal agencies that offer social service programs to ratchet up their plans for voter registration. So you have all of that sort of swirling, and then, you know, take it all and focus it in on what's happening at the border. We know that the NGOs are vigorously working that border, making sure that everybody coming across is being given access to all the social service programs that they may need. We know that the voter registration is baked in, so you don't even really have to couch it as voter registration. It's part and parcel of health care.
There's been a high rise has been built in California for homeless to move out of their tents into this high rise luxury apartments, spa, swimming pool, and all this stuff. I mean, there is no end to what they would do to ply and pander to get a vote.
Exactly.
Now, you look back looking back on Hillary Clinton and Trump, and she said, I won the popular vote. That's assuming all the votes she got were legal then. And as you say, since then, that little ploy has been multiplied over and over again.
Well, absolutely right. And you know, where it really falls off the cliff is that you take a look at all these federal agencies. We know that it is having a significant impact on voter registrations coming in, because you can see, as it was recently announced through the Social Security Administration, how many hundreds of thousands, and in fact, in the case of Texas, over a million times, that the state has had to ask the Social Security Administration for confirmation of a newly created Social Security number for the purposes of voter registration.
Right.
And so you connect the dots. Where would those names be coming from? How would this be happening, that the state is now looking for 1.4 million confirmations for the purposes of voter registration? And the dirty little secret here is these names are being added to the state rolls, mm-hmm. and states do not have the access to the data that they need to confirm citizenship. So in the example I just gave of the Social Security Administration, all the state can ask is this a real Social Security number? But they can't ask about citizenship. The walls go up. Let me
take a moment to tell the spend a little bit of time on victories you have had on True the Vote.
Sure.
You're listening, Catherine Engelbrecht. But back in, you guys were challenging the 2021 Senate runoff elections in Georgia, and Stacey Abrams claimed, oh, of course of all, your first election deniers, you don't want black people to vote, and that you're violating the Voting Rights Act. Well, didn't you get a victory in that before it was over with?
Absolutely, yes. And the you know, it all gets back to the accuracy of the voter rolls, and what we sadly came to learn about Georgia, and it's true in so many other states, is that they just do a really deplorable job of voter roll maintenance.
And or they do, or they do a very good job.
Yeah, depending on how you're reading the tea leaves, I guess that's exactly right. But as a point of fact, Georgia only does scale level maintenance, meaning across the state, they do that once every other year in the first 6 months of the year. So what that means is in Georgia, they looked at the rolls the first part of 2023. They're not going to look at them again until the first part of 2025. Well, there's a little thing called the general election right smack in the middle of that. So as the rolls are, you know, bloated and you're seeing hundreds of thousands of registrations that appear to be ineligible, well, those will still be on the rolls unless citizens take action by way of their right to challenge. And so that's what we help citizens across the state of Georgia do. And, of course, Fair Fight, not just Fair Fight, by the way, I mean, which was Stacey Abrams represented by Mark Elias, but also the Biden Department of Justice got involved. And, yes, now it's right now in the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. They appealed the decision, but we did win in federal district court and feel confident that we are going to emerge victorious in this appeal. But, it's the nature of what has to happen. We can no longer wait on the sidelines and hope that government is going to take action. They're not. Proven it.
And if they are, they're going to be against us. It'll be against
That's
us
right.
and
That's
against
right.
our integrity.
That's right.
I need to take, I want to spend the last minute or so here about talking about you specifically. You started True the Vote in 2009. What made you decide to come out and say, I need to step forward and take this under my hand and do something to help protect the integrity of the nation?
Yeah, you know, Larry, it really happened quite by accident. A small group of us went to go work at the polls and saw problems largely related to process failures.
And you're in Texas.
Largely in Texas. And yep. We just thought, you know, this is just broken in some simple ways. We'll take a closer look. We'll come up with some considerations, some possible proposals to the county about what we are finding. And surely they will take action and remedy the problem, and that'll be that. Never in my wildest imagination would I still be doing this 15 years later. But as it turns out, election integrity is shockingly something that not everybody agrees on. And not everybody agrees that there needs to be efficiency, that there needs to be a standard of excellence that is something that we can look to and see, you know, see a process as something that the American people can believe in and that's truly worth working for. We've allowed the process, the government has allowed the process to erode to a place that really the dam burst in 2020, and America woke up and said, wait a second, what is really happening here?
Hopefully this time we'll get it done right. Catherine Engelbrecht, Engelbrecht, True the Vote.
I've been called worse, Larry, no problem.
I'm a paid professional, and I'm not paid that well, I guess, I know. But True the Vote, you can find on Twitter, and you can follow it. I encourage you to do it, at True the Vote. And get more details on it. And thank God we've got people out like you out there fighting to make sure we do have election integrity. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
You bet. We'll do it again. Obviously, we're going to need to, obviously, with everything going on. Coming up, the California versus Florida issue. Oh, it's a very good story. Wait till you hear from the Florida economic advisor, just looking at what's going on in his state versus, you know, that other state.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
John Beal knows that new roofing companies can look big and trustworthy on the internet, but the fact is 96% of new roofing companies go out of business within the first 5 years. John Beal has a reputation for excellence, reliability, plus lowest cost, best roof, best guarantee. Those here today, gone tomorrow roofers, they can't match John Beal. For home or business, trust my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Have you seen the 2024 Toyota RAV4? Boy, that's an outstanding vehicle, and Ackerman Toyota has one just for you at the best price. Ackerman is the number one volume Toyota dealer in the area. Want a Camry? Maybe you want something bigger. A Toyota crossover. All the performance of an SUV, but a more compact size. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
If you like premium cigars and spirits, take my advice. Check out Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. The Lit Cigar owners just got back from a major convention in Vegas, and now every day, Lit is getting shipments of special cigars that will certainly amaze you. Check the Lit Cigar Facebook, staying on top of special events. Also, Lit can host a private event for you, your friends, your business. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I look at what's happening in California as just the greatest disrespect of taxpayers' resources in the history of America. They're in a panic. They're in a free fall. They're looking for money to make up this enormous budget deficit they've got right now. Again, in the case of California, I tell people, once you're in a hole, stop digging. And you then created an environment where at the same time you are defunding the police and defunding law enforcement. So look, in the state of Florida, we've taken advantage of their poor governance. We have offered incentive bonuses. We've actually recruited law enforcement officers to the state of Florida with a $5,000 recruitment bonus, and we have gotten law enforcement officers from all 50 states.
All 50 states going to Florida. That was Jimmy Patronis. He is the Florida Chief Financial Officer. That was part of a piece from Fox Digital, and that's why there's music under him speaking. But the point you hear clearly, because of the law and disorder and disrespect and defunding of police, other officers want to go somewhere where they can be appreciated and get good money. And you know what's going on right now in California? As you recall, they had Proposition 47. They passed couple of years ago. I take it back, more than that, it was 2014. That loosened the penalties for drug and theft crimes in California. That's obviously been blamed in large part for the increasing theft, crimes, violent and nonviolent, and homelessness throughout California. And of course, it made several crimes, shoplifting, grand theft, receiving stolen property, all a misdemeanor instead of a felony, as long as you kept it under the value of $950. Also lowered the penalty for personal use of most illegal drugs below a certain weight. Well, now, right now, the many in California want to reform Proposition 47. In other words, go back in there and take out a lot of those things. California Governor Newsom and some of his minions are coming up with some bait and switch. They're offering public safety bills that they say will help address organized retail theft, car break-ins. They want those bills to go before the voters instead of the Prop 47 reform measure. In fact, they say these need to be in effect because it's the only way to ensure there are not inconsistencies in the law. In other words, look away from Prop 7, 47. Don't do that. Do what we're presenting. It is a bait and switch. Back to Jimmy Patronis, the Florida chief financial officer, and his view of Gavin Newsom.
I think he would love to be president one day. He's got the profile for it. He's got great hair. He's got a great smile. He's charming. I watched the debate earlier this year between Governor Newsom and Governor DeSantis. And I mean, he could just lie straight through his teeth like nobody I've ever seen on camera. So, I mean, I think, you know, he's got some understanding of governance. I don't know if the positions that he takes will ever make sense for turning around a state, let alone I would hate to ever see somebody with that type of deliberate mindset to be in charge of our country's economy.
It would be a younger Joe Biden. That's what it would be. Younger, better looking, more alert. I'll have to give him credit for that. But it would be the same progressive agenda that he was doing in California. And he's all about electric cars and getting rid of fossil fuels. No, we do not want a Gavin Newsom as president. We don't want Biden either. And Patronis says, if you look at the surveys that are going on, I'm not so sure Gavin could even stand up in his own state.
I was looking at some polling data earlier today, Democrat, Republican, you name it, whatever party affiliation, and currently running in the state of Florida, 21% of the citizens of the state of Florida feel like our country is going in the right direction. 79% feels like we're going in the wrong direction. And that's coming from Democrats, Republicans, and independents. So I'm sure if you ask the citizens of California that same question, I'm sure Gavin Newsom would be embarrassed by his own performance from his own constituents.
79% of California residents think our nation is going in the wrong direction. 79%. California is a blue state. You know that. You don't get 79% if you're not getting not just Republicans and independents, but a ton of Democrat voters. And, of course, that adds to the polls that are showing Biden's not looking good. All but Kamala Harris is out on the trail, and she's saying, if you give us four more years, we'll make amazing things happen for you.
There are certainly some other issues that we need to deal with. I mean, part of the second term agenda starting now is again, what we've got to do in getting under control of this, of the housing price, and both in terms of affordability to be able to buy a house and rent. We got to get more work done in terms of what we can do around dealing with, access to capital. That's work we've been doing, helping people have a leg up and be able to start, you know, a family, start thinking about buying a home and not worrying about debt.
So in other words, if you give us four more years, we promise you a house and lower rent cost. You know what happened in Europe over the weekend? The right-wing dominance in the European election, some say that could be a massive sign of trouble for Biden and good for Trump. Now, you have to keep in mind, the right-wing victories that happen in Europe, the right-wing are not the kind of right-wing you think of in this nation, but they're far from the liberal side that exists in those countries. They turned away from Greenpeace advocacy, and they turned away from illegal immigration, as we've been doing here, and they also turned against inflation prices they're dealing with. All of that sounds and looks good for perfect for President Trump to be reelected and Biden to be booted out. Trump has been celebrating those international victories. European Parliament elections shocking France and other nations. Could it be a foreshadowing of what we're going to see on the U.S. elections? You can say it might, but you got to keep in mind the game actually has to be played. It's like two teams competing. One's ranked number one, one's number five. Number one is certainly expected to win, but when you get on the field, things might change dramatically. But, of course, Trump continues to point out, I have this nation's Justice Department weaponized not only against me but average Americans. And that's also making average Americans who might not like Trump, we're not going to vote for him, decide maybe they need to. Well, Trump has echoed that message enough that it's getting a reaction from the Pennsylvania governor, Democrat Governor Shapiro.
I got a message to Donald Trump and all his negativity and his whining. Stop talking America. This is the greatest country on earth, and it's time that we all start acting like it. The good people of Pennsylvania understand that this is a great country, understand that we got a whole lot going for us. And now it's time for us to continue this path of progress that Joe Biden has laid out and not go back to a negative time, not listen to the whining of the former president.
Donald Trump has not denounced America. He's denounced those running it. And I mean running it. Not just administrating it, but running it and weaponizing it against the American people. The remarks he's ever made against the military are how woke it's becoming, and we're not going to be prepared for a mission that we might need. And the other issues in our nation, again, can be traced back to the liberals, the progressive, regressive liberals and their woke policies. Those are wrong for our nation. The same thing with transgenderism. European nations, for the most part, have turned their back on it, saying we're not going to support gender-affirming care. So when Trump stands up for it, that is somehow saying our nation is not the best. If we're going to follow that path, we're not the best. I want us to be the best. That means we get rid of all this CRAP that's being thrown at our children and on a constant basis in our faces. And then, of course, the other issue that's going to be in play moving forward with the election, and very interesting to see what happens with the debate coming up June 27. I'll tell you more about that in a moment. But it's the news that broke today regarding Hunter Biden.
Hunter Biden has been found guilty on all counts in his gun trial, federal trial in Wilmington, Delaware. All right, Leo, your first response.
My first response is I go back to the Harris Faulkner Leo Terrell segment about 6 months ago. When you asked me that question, is there any way that plea deal could be stopped? I said the judge. The judge played a major role in the rule of law by saying I'm not going to agree to this plea deal, had questions, and that's why we're here today. The American public needs to know that. That is the rule of law, and I applaud the judge. That she did an outstanding job in following the rule of law.
Now, I did play that earlier in this program, this hour and the previous hour, but I wanted to go back over it again because that's going to be one of the issues hanging over the presidential debate when it comes up. Joe Biden has said he will not pardon his son. That's what he said earlier, but he said it because he didn't think Hunter Biden was going to be convicted. I mean, after all, they did have that sweetheart deal that Leo Terrell was speaking about to Fox News, said, remember the deal last summer? They were going to just pass it by the judge, say, yeah, he's got all these charges against him for tax evasion, things of that nature. Oh, and there's this gun deal where he lied on a federal form, and he's going to plead guilty to that, and we'll kind of massage these other things. They'll just all kind of be done, low-key, walk away, get daddy's Corvette out of the garage and go for a spin. But the judge said if he has additional charges pending against him, I can't give him a blanket waiver here. Thank God for someone standing up for justice. Hunter Biden quickly withdrew his guilty plea. He's already admitted he's guilty, then withdrew it. And then his attorneys coming forward, and their entire approach was emotional, appealing to the jury that, in fact, they selected jurors based on this. Do you have someone or know someone or been with someone or you yourself ever dealt with addiction, knowing how difficult it is? Give us a little sympathy, a little empathy, give us a not guilty verdict. But the facts were very clear. The facts were undeniable. They're right there in front of them. Guilty on count one, making false statement on an ATF form intended and likely to deceive the dealer. Guilty on count two, making false statement on an ATF form that would be kept in the dealer's records. Do you understand that if a dealer had done something illegally with those, they let him get the gun anyway, and then he was involved in a shooting, first thing they're going to do is, how did he get the gun? Go to the dealer and see, well, he checked that he was on drugs, and you let him have the gun anyway? The dealer's in difficulty. And guilty on count three, possession of a gun by a prohibited person. That would be someone who's addicted to drugs. And so they were plying on the emotions of the jury. Think of this as your son, your relative. Don't they deserve some grace? Ignore the facts of what he did. Let's just deal with it emotionally. And the left thought that was a great tactic. His lawyers thought it was a great tactic. But when the verdict was read, those in the courtroom said he's kind of looked a little shocked and then began to hug his lawyers. And suddenly the first lady is there beside him and his wife is with him. They're walking out and daddy's issuing a statement. It comes as you would expect. Saying, as I said last week, I am the president, but I'm also a dad. Jill and I love our son. We're proud of the man he is today. So many families who've had loved ones battle addiction understand the feeling of pride seeing someone you love come out the other side. I'm not so sure Hunter Biden has come out the other side. And I'm not so sure Joe Biden's going to stick by his original statement. I will accept the outcome of the case. And I will not pardon my son. But now he's been convicted on all three counts. There will be an appeal, as he's entitled to. So while the left is out there chanting, Trump's a convict, he's a convict, he's been convicted, I guess the other side could say, well, so's the president would be again, his son has been. I'll remind you again, the first debate is June 27 on CNNNN. News Talk STL will be carrying the debate live that evening starting at 8 p.m. right after this program. And you can join us at Johnny's Hideout. Be a lot of fun. I'll be looking forward to seeing you there at the debate watch party. As always, I appreciate you listening, sharing with others. You're the reason. And with God's blessing, this program is so great and growing. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.